Lee, I know you just had it in the news. Donald Trump finally, this is great news, hitting India with a punishing 50% tariff for buying Russian oil. Good.
Yeah.
Good. This needed to happen. If you notice when Trump started talking about it, that first week in July, India, we are their largest trading partner, okay? About 20% of what they make in export comes here. Russia is number two, but they're only at 8-9%, right? So why India needs to hang out with them at BRICS like they did the first week of July, when they just got together and they all plotted to take down our currency. And we had done so much for India, Lee, including at the time before Trump yanked it back, and I'm glad he did, pressuring Microsoft to shift all of its production out of China and into India. And they're still going to have some of it. We're bringing it back. But, you know, for now it's in India. That was a boon to India. And they repay us by huddling with Russia and China to take out our currency. I've been saying for a long time, excuse my English, but who the hell do they think they are? You don't want us to buy 20%. Okay, sure. Fine. Learn some respect. And you're about to learn. We're going to win this. We are. Unless they just don't want to sell us 20% of what they make. Good luck. It's their high-end stuff, too. Mm-hmm. So, and this is the situation China's in that 50% of what they make in terms of dollars we buy. The actual percentage of their goods we buy is a lot less. But we are the high dollar buyer. It is the same with India. This is not the junk. This is the higher, you know, the higher end items that they make. So, okay, good. Try it. They just hit Trump just hit India with a punishing 50% tariff for buying Russian oil. Good. This is how we need to fight. We do not need to send long range missiles and hit Moscow, as Trump flirted with, said maybe he'd let Zelensky do that. No, that is a civilizationally destroying idea. That is a really, really bad idea. No, we fight with economics first. We don't skip economics and go to mass murder. That's not a thing. And that's the Joe Biden policies. They work disastrously. We already tried under Joe Biden launching long-range missiles into a nuclear-armed country just to see what they would do. Thank God nobody got hurt. I mean, on a civilizational level, they are nuclear-armed and we violated their nuclear doctrine. So I'm glad to see this, Lee. And Lindy, India needs, bottom line, to be taught a lesson. I mean, it was that same week in July that Trump started floating this.
Well, it's just like elections have consequences. Trade has consequences.
Yeah, it does. It does. And they've been able to have the best of both worlds. Yeah. The Chinese and Russian business huddle with them, destroy our currency or pretend they're trying to, while we buy stuff and move our factories over there. While they, by the way, secure massive and buy massive amounts of coal, open a coal fire plant more than every week and take our manufacturing because we won't open coal fire plants. And then they burn it dirty, pollute the world, and the whole thing just gets exponentially dumber from there. And that's the system that we need to defeat.
Yeah.
But let me go wonk out on you for just a sec so you can understand what actually really happened here, okay? Because this is kind of a big deal. What really happened with Russia? Remember when Biden was like, hey, yeah, come on, do a little invasion. You remember the part where the Biden family got $20 million from that Russian oligarch? It came from Putin. Putin gave it to him.
Yeah.
By the way, committing felony level tax evasion to pocket it, but whatever. They're Bidens. They get to do what they want. So all of that happened. Okay. And then they say to Russia, hey, come and invade. All right. So they do. So Biden puts sanctions on the Russian oil on the main market. There's something really important to understand what I'm about to tell you to make all of this make sense. He puts sanctions on Russian oil on the main market. What does that do? Well, because he did not sanction India and China from buying the oil on the back end, out the back door, right? Mm-hmm. What he did for China, which paid his family at least 30, we know 30 million for sure was under investigation by the IRS. The laptop documents at least 50. What was all of this really about? Okay, if Russia can't sell on the main market, they can only sell out the back door to China and now India. And they have to sell it cheap, right? Real cheap. Way cheaper than you can get on the world market. What just happened? Joe Biden just forced Russia to be a vassal state to China and to sell them cheap oil. Because when Biden did not also put tariffs, sanction, whatever, China and India for buying that oil, but mainly China. India came on sort of toward the end of the Biden administration. What did he do? He did China a huge favor. He gutted Russia on behalf of China to get them cheap oil. Which, by the way, all of that China, you know, oil buying funded what? The Ukraine war, which Biden was never serious about stopping. They want World War III. I've demonstrated that to you for a very long time. So that's what they did. Do you remember when the International Monetary Fund took a look at their very left-wing institution, very globalist, and came out with a report saying that the people hurt the most by the Russian oil sanctions by Joe Biden were the American middle class and lower classes? Why? Well, because you take the Russian oil off the main market, what happens?
Prices go up.
Go through the roof.
Yeah.
Who's the only person on earth getting a discount? China. Mm-hmm. You think that's an accident? No, that's what you get when you pay the Biden family $30 million. And Joe Biden is the big guy, the IRS whistleblower said, and he pocketed it too. We need to get that. We need to get that. We need those transactions. We got him. The NSA has him. We need to go get him. We need to wreck him for this. So Joe Biden funded the Ukraine war to provide China with cheap oil with which to kick our butts. All the while accomplishing their goal of punishing the middle class, Lee, for driving for climate change stuff by what? Artificially raising gas prices. It was a totally evil thing. This is Trump reasserting rightness. Now we need to clock China too. He's not going to want to do that because they'll cut the rare earth minerals off again. So we needed to close that door. But at least this is the beginning of closing that door. Now, what I really hope is that Russia will come to the table. None of this will be necessary. And they can sell their oil on the world market because that's going to push all the prices will come down for us too. That's what needs to happen. That's what Trump wants to get to. He wanted to take a shortcut. Just go, yeah, I'll just make peace so I can take the sanctions off Russia so that we can raise, you know, so that the middle class can benefit. So that's kind of what's going on. The whole point of all of that, again, was to provide China with cheap oil with a gun to Russia's head to provide it. That's what Biden was doing. When you look back at all of Biden's policies, everything is done to help China. Everything. All of it. We covered it yesterday with Afghanistan, which was deliberately collapsed so that the Taliban could take over. In fact, we met with them beforehand to tell them they would be taking the keys. They didn't even want them.
Can't blame them, but...
No, and the reason, of course, as I've explained many times, we didn't know at the time when Biden was deliberately collapsing Afghanistan, we didn't know the Taliban had multi-billion dollar contracts with the Chinese to hand them the lithium mines. And that's why he pulled out in the middle of the night. So you look at all of his policies, he's all, and I really would love to know. I hope at the bit, I have a feeling they get to the bottom of this. The people driving these policy decisions, I bet you're going to be Jill and Hunter, the people who personally profited from this, the Biden family. I bet that's what they're going to find. That's what they're digging for in Congress. They know it too. They just have to prove it. So that's what is behind all of this sanctioned stuff. And it's super, super interesting. Now, in my preferred world, NATO would stop hurling our missiles at Russia and Russia would come to the table. We could lift the sanctions. We can lower oil prices and we cut some kind of ironclad deal with Russia for the rare earth minerals and divorce them from China, cut them off from China. That'd be what I would wish would happen. We'd have peace in Ukraine, but nothing is ever so easy.
No.
Yeah. But Trump is at least beginning to correct a major problem that Biden caused there. So, and India, I mean, India needs to be taken to the woodshed. They do. They need a spanking and they just got it. They need to see Trump's serious and they have got to choose sides. They're either with Russia and China or they're with us, but they don't get to sell us, you know, have us be their number one trading partner and treat us this way. We must have respect. Trump is not messing around.
D.C. has a higher murder rate than Chicago. And during yesterday's marathon cabinet meeting that stretched for more than 3 hours, guys, President Trump says he wants to bring back the death penalty for anyone convicted of murder in the nation's capital.
If somebody kills somebody in the Capitol, Washington, D.C., we're going to be seeking the death penalty. And that's a very strong preventative. And everybody that's heard it agrees with it. I don't know if we're ready for it in this country, but we have it. It is, we have no choice.
The White House says there's been over 1,000 arrests this month since President Trump ordered those reinforcements to help D.C.'s police force, which is 800 cops short. Here's Jeanine Pirro, the U.S. attorney for D.C., on the recent bus, including 12 people from around the U.S. connected to a drug trafficking ring. You can see the weapons there on the table.
This is part of our cleaning up the district and the nation.
Yeah. This is what's got to happen, folks. Because let me tell you what, this is now going viral, what has just happened in Germany. That very handsome young man, beautiful guy. Turns out he is, it makes sense why, a male model. He's in Germany. He's club hopping with his friends. He's jumping on and off the train. American tourist. And he sees a very common sight in Germany. Two Muslim men. They've set their sights on two young, attractive women and have decided to sexually assault them. Not really unusual. By the way, they are what is called asylum seekers in Germany. They are not legally present in the country. So one of the men begins to beat one of the young women because she won't, you know, automatically let him have her way, his way with her. And this guy, John Rudat, jumps in. He was on Fox News. He immediately, his beautiful face, obviously he's been modeling, immediately gets a knife ripped right across his face. And you look at the, like, he's got a really nasty, gnarly wound still on Fox. He says on Fox, I don't know if I'm going to ever be able to model again. This is Germany. But that's not the outrageous part. Now, you can see, and the reason I'm bringing this up is I want you to see the parallels. I talked about this yesterday. I want you to see the parallels. This is an international program of terror. They want you, low-value voters who do not vote for their socialism, to be terrorized on the streets by people who do. They want you afraid every moment of your life. It is a plan. It is systematic. It is systemic. It is what they are doing, and they are implementing it here too. He says, I don't know if I'll be able to model again, because he doesn't regret it. But here's the part I want you to get, and then I'm going to draw the parallel. This is Germany, okay? This is him, and he did this Instagram post, and it's gone viral.
If y'all did think that Europe had an immigration problem, especially Germany, let me drop some knowledge on you. It is 11:57 right now. In 3 minutes, that man that assaulted that young woman yesterday will be released from custody. He'll be released from custody because he's not a citizen of Germany. He's not a citizen of the EU, for that matter. He doesn't even belong in here. He's an immigrant, an illegal one, a drug dealer, and very popularly known here, especially by the police. This is not the first time this has happened. It's not the first time that man had beat up a woman. If they could do this to the people of Germany and then just get released 12 hours later, even less at this point, where's the law? Where's the structure? If Germans are held to that law and that structure.
Oh, they're absolutely held to it. German women, especially white German women, are what's for dinner. Now, I want to play you the parallel. It's happening here, too. Not an accident.
Newark ICE officials slamming New York City for releasing a suspected child predator despite a detainer request from federal agents. The Dominican national was charged with sexual misconduct with a child under the age of 11. After the sanctuary city released the migrant, ICE was able to track him down in New Jersey through intelligence operations. The agency saying, quote, I'm proud of our deportation officers who tracked him down and took him into custody, removing a dangerous predator from the streets within weeks of his release into the community.
There is no ICE in Europe. No one's coming for those people. No one's coming to help them. Except an American, young American tourist who doesn't know any better. Now, look what Trump's doing. This is the only place in the world this is going on. Everywhere else, they're allowed to terrorize you if they are high-value voters of the left. What is Trump doing? This is why he's made this central to his battle, not just in D.C., which is a demonstration project, but across the country with Democrats.
They thought it was discriminatory to make people put up money because they just killed three people lying on a street. Any street all over the country, cashless bail, we're ending it. But we're starting by ending it in D.C., and that we have the right to do through federalization.
Okay. This is an international battle. International battle. Now, here's what's interesting about this. Okay. This guy, John Ruta, and this was in Dresden, Germany on the train, right? Where high value illegal immigrant, in this case, Muslim voters are being brought in to vote for left wingers so they can, you know, have their totalitarian state. John Rudette, whose face may be forever scarred. It's a gnarly scar. I mean, it's right down the center like a sash. May never model again. And the lesson to Americans here, folks, this ain't West anymore. Not in Europe. You don't go there. Not on vacation. It's too dangerous. It's too dangerous. John Rudette says the victim who he saved from sexual assault and beating by taking a knife across the face, didn't contact him, didn't say thank you. Hold on just a sec. I gotta wrap this.
Have you been able to speak to her? Has she contacted you or anything?
No, not at all.
It was a perfect stranger.
Not at all, unfortunately. Perfect stranger, you know? I would have done it for anybody. I would have done it for any woman in that position. So I'm not too uptight about it, and I respect her opinions of maybe she wants privacy, especially after such a big event like this.
Of course.
Okay, why didn't she contact you? I'm gonna tell you why. And I'm going to be right about this too. She's afraid. She's afraid because he just went instant viral on Instagram and then X. It's trending over and over again over the weekend and into this. He's still trending. If she's caught in any way commenting on this, because of German speech laws, you cannot criticize your rapist if he's an illegal immigrant, especially not if he's Muslim. You cannot. It doesn't matter if you're telling the truth. It is not a defense. This is a country where the number one party in the polls, the leader of that party is a woman who reposted online a photo of German rape crime stats from their own books. Absolutely accurate. She was charged, prosecuted, convicted. Because it's a first conviction, she only had to pay a massive fine instead of go to prison. Next time, she'd go to prison. That potential rape victim cannot leave a social media imprint or she could go to prison. That is why she has not reached out. That right there is what we fight in these cities. That's why we got to clean them up. That's why the Democrats must never win again in their current form. That is what Trump is fighting. All of it. And it's international. Why? So there's nowhere to run to be safe from their high-value voters that they are replacing us with. And those voters, as a reward, will be allowed to do whatever they want to women. It's the deal. And there is one person standing in the way, and that is Donald Trump. Hope his heart holds up. Ooh, I think I just got blistered by Bonchi from Red State. I'm pretty sure he listens to the show. If you do, hey. On his Twitter feed. Here's the criticism. Some of you have hurled this at me on the text line. It's okay. He writes, if you are coping by claiming the 600,000 Chinese students thing, getting the visas, is just a, quote, negotiation, as if making such a bad deal would be a win, I'd point you to the fact that Trump endorsed the H-1B program and said the H-1B program remains stop assuming 40 chess and oppose bad policy. Okay. Couple of things. Look, I don't hesitate to criticize Trump. I never will. But I also like to provide context in which he operates. His defense of the H-1B system is not something I've been very happy with. He's kind of walked both sides of it, honestly, if you want to tell the truth. But I know at the same time, if our auto manufacturers were have to idle the lines because of the Trump versus China tariff negotiations, that Bonchi would brutalize Trump for that. These are hard decisions. And what I said yesterday and where I am on this is that our America dead last policy of the last couple of decades, it really started with the Bushes and NAFTA, just the absolute disaster beatdown of America, with the goal of opening its borders, merging Mexico, Canada, and the U.S., and then Brazil and, you know, some other countries into one bloc that would then rule us, and it wouldn't be constitutional. That goal, that beatdown, where it said our economics doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't have to work for America anymore because we're going to be part of this bloc, so self-interest isn't going to work. That's where that mentality came from. So we stop doing basic things like advocating for ourselves. Like, oh, wow, we're in the middle of an AI revolution. We're in the middle of a tech revolution. You know, maybe we're going to need some rare earth minerals, huh? No, we wouldn't do that. We would never advocate for ourselves. It's considered gauche and embarrassing. Yes, that came from the Bush era, too. It was picked up by the Democrats as economic policy. They didn't come up with this. We didn't. It was the Bushes. We are so far behind that when Trump finds himself at the negotiating table and says, no, China's going to stop taking advantage of us, they said, well, okay. Trump said, okay, I'm yanking the 500,000 visas for the students. Bonchi doesn't include that in his tweet. Trump said that. He said he was yanking the 500,000 visas. No more. They're not coming here as students anymore. China said, okay, we're yanking the rare earth minerals. And then Trump had to make a terrible decision. Because we had all of our auto manufacturers looking at idling their production lines by July. 2 months from when all this went down. What would you do? See, these aren't easy things. They sound easy behind the keyboard online, but they're not. Well, those production lines idle, Trump would have de facto lost the tariff battle, would have lost his economic battle against China. That would have really affected the, you know, I mean, auto sales, all of that, markets, mess, GDP, can't have it. So he had to make a terrible decision. If you notice, the number went up. Now it's 600,000 Chinese national students. He made a terrible decision. He also said an interesting thing, though, yesterday. He was screaming at China because they're withholding magnets from us now. Because we're just so stupid. We're just so damn dumb. I mean, and I'm talking about the past policy, right? So Trump has discovered that China always meant to weaponize these rare earths against us. And the thing I would say that's good about this, Trump is saying, hey, listen, we're going to have the magnets we need in a year. I'm getting stuff online to be able to do that. What does that mean? In a year, in 2 years, he feels that he's going to be able to pull these Chinese visas. And look, if you feel like it's unfair, and I do, man, it sticks in my craw. I'm pissed. What would you do? Pull the visas. I'd love to. Gosh, that would be satisfying. Especially if I've got kids going into college. I've got kids competing in the job market against these people. I mean, you know how stunningly, I mean, just punch in the gut it is? Listen to what Howard Lutnick is saying here to Laura Ingraham. Whoa. If we cut the 600,000 visas for the Chinese, then American students who are stuck at the lower tier schools, they'll get the positions at the top tier schools. But the lower tier schools, which is where Americans go because it's America last, they'll go out of business. Well, let them. Our kids all be in the top tier schools. What's the problem? What is Lutnick really saying here? Think about this. Because this has really been the policy in America. Well, the second tier colleges are for American students. The rest are for Chinese.
Mr. Secretary, with all due respect, how is allowing 600,000 students from the communist country of China putting America first?
Well, the president's point of view is that what would happen if you didn't have those 600,000 students is that you'd empty them from the top. All the students would go up to better schools, and the bottom 15% of universities and colleges would go out of business in America. So his view is he's taking a rational economic view, which is classic Donald Trump, looking at higher education.
So Lutnick is, of course, his trade advisor. Okay. Look, am I saying I support this? No, you don't understand. Please, I don't support this. Are you willing to pay the price? And I'm genuinely curious to see what you'll say on the text line. 800-905-0989. Are you willing to idle automobile production until we get this rare earth mineral situation sorted out? Trump's going like gangbusters on that. I mean, again, he opened the first rare earth minerals mine in 70 years. Pentagon just took a $50 million stake in PMC, which is another, it's an actual mine that's operating. And look, we are the world's number two rare earth mineral production. We do have some of it. Biden idled two mines, but we do, yes, we still do. We have one major mine. But unfortunately, they control 90% of the world's rare earth minerals, and we need so much more than that. So to win the visa battle, would you idle our lines, our automobile lines? Would you do it? Tough decisions. He went with, let's keep it up and running. And folks, that's not without massive price. Did you see what just happened? It just really chafes me when you don't put that like context in. And Bonchi didn't. So I'm going to hit him back for it. You know, when you don't put that context in, you know, if you say, hey, listen, we'll idle the auto lines, we will idle the satellites, we'll stop the tech production. And we'll cut the visas. Okay. If that's your position, you think it's worth it. Maybe it is to go to war with China. I don't know, but you can't act like there's no repercussions. Because this is a terrible position that George Bush through Barack Obama and Joe Biden put Donald Trump in. Okay. Did you see what happened overnight? This is just a Chinese student visa holding researcher at the University of Texas was charged with stealing research funded by American taxpayers and trying to bring it back to China. Biden gave him a visa in 2022. His name is Yunhai Li. If only an American student, I'm sure we have brilliant students, had that position and said, maybe that wouldn't have gotten stolen. That's the cause. That's just one guy. Doesn't even count the two instances, not one, but two instances of Chinese student visa holders bringing agricultural bioweapons into this country. One of which, the blight, if you get even a little of it in your system, can kill you, collapse your liver, do neurological damage, and sterilize you. Fun stuff. Basically a COVID knockoff. Wonder if our government under Biden helped pay for them to create it. Could be. I mean, I don't know. Democrats' party's merging with these people, hard to say. And the weaponized ringworm to kill off our livestock. Chinese student visa holders, folks, snuck that, try to sneak that stuff in this country. We got to police all 600,000. These are not good choices. There are no good choices here. What would you do if you were Trump? I'm genuinely curious. Text it to me, 800-905-0989. Yeah, it's kind of creepy, and it made national news. Warning issued from Newsweek. Warning issued as a dozen earthquakes hit South Carolina in 1 week. And the reason this is noteworthy, besides the fact that it's this tiny little spot, Cuernavaca, it's about a, if you are standing in the center of Greenville, it's about an hour and 5 minutes roughly south of here. Making national news because it's such a weird flurry. At least 10 earthquakes confirmed in that same spot in the past week. Now, if you've lived out on the coast, you know that's not unusual for the coast at all. Most of these earthquakes are out on the coast. It's a regular part of living out there. I used to live out there. I lived in Charleston and Myrtle Beach. But here, it's a lot more unusual. If it's just been one or two and they're low-level earthquakes, okay, it would be noteworthy. We don't usually have them here. But, you know, not a big deal. But the reason it made national news is there's been so many of them. Starting in October 2024, out of the clear blue, this this Cuernavaca area, about, again, an hour south of Greenville, 9 earthquakes reported in a 6-day span. It just, like, comes out of nowhere. Since that flurry, no other earthquakes were confirmed in that area since October until now. And it's just starting again. It's made national news. The latest series of tremors returned to Greenwood County. So it starts with a 2.2 mag earthquake on Monday. And then another earthquake, 1.7 mag, it rumbles near the same area, and that's followed by a 2.0, closer to Ware Shoals. Then it stops, and then it starts again on Saturday, flurry of earthquakes, which included a 2.9, 3.0 magnitude earthquake, separated by about 6 minutes shortly after midnight, and over the next several hours, 5 more earthquakes. So when you get this cluster of earthquakes in an area, it's about 75 miles west of Columbia. Normally, the earthquakes happen east of Columbia. And you get a boom, 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 boom like that. I mean, it's, you know, it's interesting. Interesting enough that it is making national news. It's a top 50 story. This is the state newspaper here in South Carolina. Information on why there's such a high frequency of earthquakes in the Cuernavaca area all of a sudden was not available. Yeah, that means they don't know. Now, they say there were 23 confirmed earthquakes so far in South Carolina in 2025. Normally, we have about 28 a year. So that's not unusual. It's just where they are and the fact they haven't been there before. And now there's so many back to back. They're not high level. But still. It's just very, very unusual. It's been uncommon, they write, for earthquakes to hit outside of the Midlands area of the Palmetto State, specifically beyond Kershaw County, where 69 earthquakes have been confirmed since June of 2022. So they think something new is going on. And so they're, you know, talking about it in here. Anybody who felt the tremors or, you know, the shaking, heard rumblings can report them. But the most recent earthquake would mean that at least 155 had been detected in the Palmetto State since 2022. No major damage or injuries. That's not the worry. The worry is that sometimes these can be precursors to a major earthquake. And that is the concern because we have had that before. They say the strongest earthquake ever recorded in South Carolina on the East Coast and on the East Coast of the United States, a devastating 7.3 in Charleston, 1886, killed 60 people. Folks, today it would be catastrophic if it happened. It just literally, the earth opened up, a lot of land swallowed. It's just, it wasn't developed like it is now. So it wasn't as big of a deal. That one was felt over, listen to this, 2.5 million square miles from Cuba to New York and Bermuda to the Mississippi River. I mean, wow. The series of earthquakes in Cuernavaca also might be the longest period of earthquake activity in the state's history. So we've never seen this before. Though the frequency of these minor earthquakes may alarm some, they say we don't expect a significantly damaging earthquake in South Carolina at this time, but they don't know. So keep your eye on it. It's interesting.